Well, good morning again. As you make your way back to your seat, how about our team, huh? How about that worship team, the sound media? Amen. Man, that was beautiful. Thank you guys so much. And thanks for all our teams around here, hospitality, children's ministry. We did a bunch of outreach yesterday. So, good morning again. Now, as I've identified several times already throughout this series that we're in, this sermon series, my family loves to travel, okay? And the journey specifically of a road trip, okay, that holds particular, or I guess you could say specific enjoyments, right? And a road trip is what we have been using in this series as an analogy to describe the process of sanctification, okay? Or what is commonly referred to as holiness, or becoming what? More and more like Christ, right? Which is his calling. That is his desire of us, okay? Now, with that said, one of my favorite parts of a road trip is, as we've talked about before, but again, I want to say it, it's the conversation, right? The conversation that takes place throughout the journey, the many talking points that come up all along the way. And with that said, we took a look at what some of those talking points might look like when it comes to our journey of sanctification, and we did that in the second week of the series. But today what we want to do is I want to focus on how, not only is the conversation enjoyable throughout the physical road trip, but I want to look at how the conversation with others, okay, sharing the stories from our trip upon returning, how those things are exciting as well, right? Not just along the trip, but when we come back and share with others, those things are exciting, they are meaningful, and they are powerful as well. I mean, think about it a second. The photos, right? Or the videos, the times of laughter, the times of challenge, right? Just all of those memories, which is what keeps actually the experience of the trip alive, doesn't it? And maybe even encouraging to others. And why this is important when we think about our spiritual journey is all of this can encourage us ourselves to keep going and on a road trip, you know, in our analogy. And it perhaps can also inspire others to take a similar journey, right? So as we think of a physical road trip, when we've gone somewhere really cool and we share that with others, that encourages them. Well, in the spiritual realm, in our relationship with Christ, in sanctification, when we share with others what God is showing us and revealing in us and changing us, that can encourage them too, right? The stories. So with that said, as we wrap up this sermon series today, what I want to do is I want to focus us on the big picture, okay, of the journey of sanctification, and specifically two aspects of it. And those two aspects are the personal aspects of holiness and the social aspects of holiness, because there are two aspects to it. And both of these aspects of holiness, they are both important, okay? And I want to explain why today. Now, to do so, we're going to spend the majority of our time in Mark chapter 12, primarily verses 29 to 31. And the context of this passage is the answer that Jesus gave to a teacher of the religious law, okay? The religious law of the Old Testament. And this teacher was asking Jesus, and many of us know this scripture, but don't fade out because it's simple or you've heard it. Because when you figure out living it fully, let me know, okay? But anyway, this is in response to that teacher coming to Jesus and asking, "Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the Old Testament?" And this leader, again, he was referring to the written law of Moses. So let's read together Jesus' response to this. It's Mark chapter 12, 29 to 31. Jesus said this, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment," said Jesus, greater than these. Now, Jesus was quoting here from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5 from the Old Testament. However, it seems that Jesus added mind, okay? When you look back at Deuteronomy, it doesn't say mind. So it looks like he added it. But in actuality, the ancient Hebrew language of the Old Testament, of Deuteronomy 6, combines heart and mind into one word. But when Jesus quotes it in Aramaic, his primary speaking language, he had the ability, okay, and he found it important enough to add mind. And so overall here, Jesus is stressing the importance that every part of our lives needs to be surrendered to following the Lord and loving him in that way. So Jesus' words here in Mark, they truly give us a general but yet a powerful overview of what sanctification is all about. And his words, as we will see, identify the need for both personal and social, or you could say public, holiness. And note that this may sound a bit familiar to what we discussed last week as we looked at the Apostle Paul's writings in Galatians, where he stressed the importance of displaying all of the fruit of the Spirit. You remember that? Because here, Jesus is stressing the importance of loving him and loving others entirely. Entirely. So, if we look at the first part of this passage from Jesus, he in fact focuses us on the personal. He is proclaiming that we need to fully love the Lord our God with all of our being, starting with by personally loving God, right? And he tells us to do so by loving him first with what? With all of our heart, right? With all of our heart, which as you think about it would include things like all of our passions, all of our desires, all of our motivation, all of our intention even. Now, sometimes around the church, we describe this as what makes us mad, sad, and or glad. We worship him with and through it all, church. It is really with the mentality and heart passion of asking God to break our hearts for what breaks his. Because there are things that break his heart. So it's asking God, break my heart for what breaks yours. So church, we ask ourselves today, God asks us, what is really our heart's desire? What is really your heart's desire? What is it? And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and if we are keeping step with the Spirit which God, through Paul, implored us to last week, then our heart's desire should match up. It should align overall with God's desire and in increasing fashion. So does yours, does mine, does it? Or do we have some work to do regarding surrendering our hearts? That's question one this morning. But then Jesus tells us to love him, the Lord our God, with all of our soul, right? And I like to look at this by looking at what it is that we are truly worshiping and identifying if there are other areas of our life or of the world creeping in and taking our worship away from God. And truth be told, we worship whatever we place our highest value on. That's what we worship. It is asking what it is that we allow to rule and give order to our day. What do we allow to rule and give order to our day? Is it truly God? Is it? Is it truly God in our relationship with him through Christ? Or is it our daily agenda? Is it our agenda, our daily appointments maybe for work? Is it maybe our chores at home? Is it our kids' sports schedule? Is it our bank account? You see, our lives, I'm just telling you, our lives will look much different if we are worshiping our jobs or our to-dos rather than worshiping our Lord. Your life will look very different in those two settings. Or worshiping relationships, and our relationships will all look much different than worshiping our Lord, as will worshiping maybe our earthly successes. It will look very different than truly worshiping the Lord. I think you get my point overall. Our soul, okay, our soul is united with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, so we have to ask ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, are we allowing that unity to take place? Are we allowing that unity to take place fully? Or are we putting up walls? Are we putting up walls between ourselves and God via our worship of earthly man-made scenarios? Or are we truly worshiping the one who created them and who created everything in those scenarios? Consider that this morning. Consider that. And then next, Jesus tells us to love him with all of our mind, right? All of our mind. Now, I think we all know, but if you don't recognize it, then heed God's warning to be alert. Okay, be alert. Can you say be alert? Be alert. Be alert because the enemy, Satan, can easily enter our minds and fill it with the things of darkness. Things like lies. Things like evil and lustful thoughts. In fact, I'd venture to say that it is in this area that perhaps fully releasing ourselves to the Lord may be the most difficult. Inputs into our minds through what we are looking at, what we are reading, what we are listening to. It's all around us. It's all around us, and it's easy. Do you know what it's easy to do? It's easy to come up with excuses. Guilty as charged. It's easy to come up with excuses and say, I'm only thinking about it. I'm only thinking about it. I'm not physically acting out anything. And this may be especially true when it comes to something like lustful thoughts, right? Which Jesus addresses in Matthew 5, verses 27 to 28, where he teaches that even thinking about someone lustfully, do you know what he said? He said that is committing adultery in the heart. And we can also fill our minds with things like doubt, right? And fear and anger. Our minds, listen to me, church, our minds simply can be a playground for both the enemy and or the Lord. Which will you choose? Which will you choose? And just know that the Lord, well, he has the power for the ultimate victory. Do you remember this from last week? I think we've got 18 or 19 nails in here. People were brave enough to come up here and nail their stuff, their junk, to the cross and to leave it there. That's what this is getting at. We can leave it there because God, he has the power to deal with that stuff. He has the ultimate victory already waiting for you over that stuff. It's our increased surrender that activates it all. We simply need to be intentional. We need to be disciplined, which he will help us to do. He will empower us to do it. We need to be intentional and disciplined to keep our minds focused on him and focused on his ways. And you know what? I have found that the easiest way to do that is really through regularly praying and reminders, you know, and spending time in his word. Here's a little reminder I recently got. Maybe some of you have this, you can't see it. It's a little rubber Jesus statue. And it's silly, I get it. But Robin Sanders gave me this, and there's some in the back if you want one. But you know what, as I'm going throughout my day, I reach my hand in to get my keys, and I'm like, oh yeah, Jesus is with me. Jesus is for me, he's not against me. It's just that little reminder, like, am I responding to his love for me in a way that would honor and glorify him? But going back to Scripture and being in the Word, listen, church, listen. Scripture is alive. Scripture is active. And so as we fill our minds with it, it just works. It works to expose the darkness, and it pushes the enemy out. So grab a Bible. Get a Bible. If you don't have one, they're always in the back. Just grab a Bible. They're free, always in the back. And just start asking yourselves, what else am I reading? What else am I reading? How am I inspiring my mind in a positive and a godly way? Ask that question of yourself. And you know what? Things like music can help or hurt too, right? As can movies, as can any kind of literature. The more you naturally engage in things that please God, the more you will naturally think about the things that please God. Let me repeat that. The more that you naturally engage in things that please God, the more you will naturally think about the things that please God. And you will realize that your thoughts, do you know what will happen? Your thoughts will move from, I can't think about this, to I want to think about these things. I want to think about the good and pleasing and godly things. Church, our minds are an essential piece of our lives that we need to release to the Lord. And then lastly, in this personal holiness section or portion, Jesus tells us to love him, to love God with, do you remember? All our strength, right? And this is with our physical bodies. So ask yourself this morning, and often, how do I treat my God-given body? And let me remind you, or let me let you know if you don't know, that your body is a dwelling place of the Spirit of the Lord if you are a believer in Christ. And that's the intention of your body if you're not a believer in Christ, to be the dwelling place of the Spirit of the Lord. Meaning that the same Spirit that was once contained in the Holy of Holies of the Old Testament is now dwelling within us, within the believer. Our body, church, has become the literal temple of the Lord. Do you get that? The literal temple of the Lord. And reading through the Old Testament, it's very apparent that the Lord values the dwelling place of his Spirit. He values it. I mean, to see the detail with which the Lord gave, the way that the Lord commanded the Old Testament characters to build the temple with, shows that the Lord highly values where he dwells. He highly values that. In the Old Testament, it was the Holy of Holies. It was the temple. But today, again, it is our bodies. And so he highly values them in the very same way. So how are you stewarding it? How are you stewarding your body? How are you managing it? Because just as the individual elements of the physically built temples were set apart and made holy for the Lord, just like that, now our bodies, okay, our bodies are to be set apart. They're to be made holy and increasingly holy for the Lord. So how we exercise, how we eat, how we take or don't take care of our bodies, it matters. It matters to the Lord. And yes, we will eventually receive a fully perfect body, one that will last for an eternity when Jesus comes back and when he makes everything right. But for now, our bodies are a temporary, they are an earthly shell, but we are commanded to love the Lord our God with them. That's what Jesus said. And thus to take care of them while we have them, and to act purely with them. To act purely with them, engaging in the enjoyment that we can have with them. And I think you know what I mean, in the way that he has ordained it. For this, church, this is our worship. This is our worship. So with that, as we consider what Jesus says about our love of God via all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, it's pretty clear that Jesus wants us to love him with all of our being, right? Our everything, which is an incredible calling, okay? That's an incredible calling to personal holiness or sanctification. But think about it. Each of these commands, okay, they could be lived out in isolation. But I ask you, is this what God wants from us? Is that what God wants from us? Is that all he wants from us, to perfectly love him in isolation? Well, the back part of Mark chapter 12 that we read tells us no. He wants more from and for us. He wants more from and for us than simply experiencing the joys and the wonders of our road trip personally and just keeping it completely to ourselves, to only maybe after reaching our destination to just move on to the next thing. There is more to it after that, as he wants us to share it with others and thus inspire them by our stories, by our adventures, in hopes that they too would want to experience similar things for themselves. You know, there's this interesting story related to all of this, and it's in a book entitled Be Holy. And it is in this chapter that's written by a guy named Robert Black, where he shares this story of Simon Stylitz, okay? And Black writes this: Simon was a monk who sought holiness in the solitude of the Syrian desert, miles away from civilization. The world was corrupt, Simon reasoned, and if he remained in contact with the world, it could corrupt him. And from there, Simon's story continued that as people heard about him, they wanted to go see him, okay? So he, do you know what he did? He just kept building a tower higher and higher. He kept building layer by layer to separate himself more and more. You see, church, this monk was trying to sever himself from the world around him. And essentially, he could perfectly live out the first part of Mark 12, because in being walled off, he could more easily and successfully love the Lord, right? With all of his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and all his strength. But what he was missing was the fact, okay, that in the context, it was impossible for him to live out the second part of Jesus' teaching in Mark 12, which was what? To love neighbor as self, to love others, right? So how exactly do we live out this second half of the passage? Which is an important question, because I think it's pretty easy to identify the fact that several of us get stuck in the personal holiness trap. And we think that it is good enough, you know. We feel that if we fill up ourselves with sermons and worship experiences and classes and Bible studies, that we are doing what God has commanded us to do. But that, unfortunately, is a lie, because you know why? Because it's a half-truth. It's a half-truth because, yes, God is happy that you may be learning to be more like him. God is happy about your attending church and other settings to learn about him and to even grow personally in him and worship together. He wants that for each and every one of us. In fact, he commands that of each and every one of us. But learning to be like Jesus and even growing in that personally is meaningless if we don't actually be like Jesus in the company, in the presence of others. So ideally, being like Jesus is to eventually be a natural way of life for you and I, for us, for the church. An example of this would help, okay? And we even get one in Acts chapter 4, okay, of our Bible. You can go there and read it later. It's Acts 4, 32 to 37, where we see being, okay, socially or publicly, being like Jesus was natural for them. It was natural for this early church. You see, they personally experienced what Jesus did for them, and then they couldn't help but share it with others. They didn't feel like out of duty or something that they had to, like they had to help one another. They just wanted to. They wanted to, which is a huge distinction. They just couldn't help but serve one another. Now, with that said, just know, okay, that there are opportunities to serve others everywhere, around here and outside of here. But there's opportunities around Revive Wesleyan, Springville, and beyond. So I just encourage you to seek out a way that you can put into practice what you are hearing and how you are growing, whether that's through, I don't know, being an usher or a helper in kids ministry or serving on our worship team or in the band or in the booth, whatever it may be, okay, just step into the calling. Step into it to serve. Step into the calling that God has for each and every one of us. In fact, to start that process or explore it, you could just text right now or later, but do it now because you won't later after thinking about it. But text the word serve. Honestly, if the Lord's putting that on your heart, no pressure, but if the Lord's speaking to you, text the word serve to 716-649-6335, and you'll be contacted by someone to just help you explore doing that within the church body and for the family of the church in obedience to the Lord. And just know that this serving in the body of the church, you know what? It's fairly easy when you think about it because it's fairly safe. It's fairly easy. It's safe as you serve alongside like-minded individuals, right? And you're serving like-minded individuals overall. And the serving, it allows you to enter the body of the church rather than just hearing about it or learning about it on the surface. But what's really cool is that as you serve the church, you will be simultaneously equipping yourself to serve outside of the physical walls of the church. Which, no big secret, is Jesus' ultimate goal. That is Jesus' ultimate commandment of us. To go, right? You know that verse? To go and to make disciples. Which we have an amazing, rather local opportunity coming up for us all to engage in through and with 8 Days of Hope and their Buffalo Project. It's taking place in mid-July. You can go to our website, revivewesleyan.com, to sign up for one day or several days. In fact, Wednesday the 24th will be a special all-revive day, which I, for one, will be at, along with likely many others. And then for youth, we have a 3-day opportunity together, the 20th of July to the 22nd. And likewise, you can check all that out at the website. But if you want to hang with me, make sure you sign up for the 24th, a Wednesday, okay? I don't know if you want to hang with me, but if you do. Oh, that laugh tells me my answer, maybe. But listen, now to frame the importance of engaging in this, I want to look at Jesus' final words before he ascended into heaven. And they're found in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age." And our point today is that we cannot fulfill Jesus' commandment, the greatest commandment, or these final words of Jesus. We can't fully fulfill that if we are stuck in and at personal holiness. For there is a social, there is a public holiness that we are commanded to as well. We are commanded to love God and to love others. And ideally, this should just be something that we naturally do and desire to do because of all that He, God, Jesus, has done for us. So with that, our road trip analogy, it's been fun to line up against this journey of sanctification, but let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest. A road trip, a physical one, to an earthly destination, let's be honest, it's not a life or death scenario, right? But the gospel, what we're to be sharing with others, the gospel, the commands of Jesus, they are, in fact, life or death. They are life or death. For the kingdom of God and its vitality here and now. It does depend to a degree on us as followers of his, actually living out the commands that he lays out for us and answering affirmatively his invitation to us into all of this. And as we enter into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, we experience the freedom from sin, and we are called then to jump on the highway and to begin continuing along this journey of sanctification. And along the way, we will have talking points by which we can engage and guide and direct ourselves and others. In other words, he has given us clear mile markers, right? Like those found in Galatians 5 from last week. And those help us in determining how far we've come or how far we have yet to go. And then today, as we consider how we are doing at loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and how we are doing as loving our neighbor as ourselves, both personal and social or public holiness, we can see by looking at these things how we are doing, right? How we are doing as we await his return to make all things right, to make all things perfect. But in the meantime, church, we ask the Lord to reveal to us, how am I doing? How am I doing at full and a more and more full surrendering of my life to the perfect and the pleasing will of God? And in answering that honestly and embracing change, we love God. We love God in that, and we love others. And in doing so, we make disciples who make disciples as we journey through sanctification and as we align our desires with the desires of God himself. So today, where are you on this journey? Where are you? Have you even started it? It is a journey that maybe you'd like to begin. If that's so, talk to me. Or come forward and pray with me during our closing song. I'm going to stay up here. Or maybe you're stuck in the middle of your journey, right? Have you kept it to yourself, but you want to stop that? Talk to me. Come forward and pray with me during this closing song. Have you ignored? Maybe you're in this spot. You've ignored the mile markers, but you want to. You don't want to do that any longer. Or are you taking in all the information but doing nothing with it? Talk to me, okay? Come forward and pray with me during this closing song again. Bottom line, let's be a people, okay? Let's be a people, the church, who loves God and loves others. And as the worship team comes forward, let's pray. And again, I'm going to stay up here during this song for you to come and either surrender your life to the Lord for salvation. Maybe that's where you are. It's time to get on the road, baby. Come up and let's pray about that. Or maybe it's time for you to surrender a part of your life, you know, more fully to the Lord, whether that be heart, soul, mind, or strength, or your loves of other. Maybe it's time to surrender that to the Lord and just pray about it. All to get unstuck on your journey of sanctification. So I'm going to just do a quick prayer, and then we're going to worship through song. You can stand during that. Come down if you want to pray about anything related to that. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this series on sanctification and just this road trip, this journey you've had us on these last 4 weeks of just growing to be more like you. So, Lord, I just pray that we would remember these things, that you would help us to remember what you would have us remember, and not only remember it in our minds, but live it out. We pray this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.